make you think and let you see one thing for yourself. But now you're off with someone else and I'm alone. See, I thought that I might keep you for my own. Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while, maybe longer if I do. Don't you think the time is right for us to find all the things we thought weren't proper could be right? Which way we should turn, together or alone? I can never see what's right and what is wrong. It takes too long to see. Amy, what you wanna do? I think I could stay with you for a while. Stay with you for a while.
John. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Do you like The Who?
Who's? Yeah, well, I like some of their stuff. They're all deaf.
Yeah. Well, they're good parts coming up, but we'll stop it there. Okay, John, we're just about ready to launch. Get it going.
Well, then it's time.
Yep. I've been looking into I've been looking into a variety of different recording mechanisms for the studio. We're looking like I looked at one of the things that Adam showed me, but there's a new product, which I'll tell you about. Very cool. Records the audio on both sides and then uploads the local copy so that when you get it, it's both local sides versus yours, which comes in now, which is the, what would you call that? The non-local copy. You follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, something. But has a lot of really cool features.
Well, that sounds like a winner. Yeah, how many people can it do at once?
We could do a bunch. We could do a whole bunch. And on video. It's really, really specialized in video and live streaming and switching. It's very, and it's ridiculously, it's expensive. I'm like, it's $50 a month. Are you kidding me? Seriously?
It won't be forever.
You know? And then there's another audio program. I'm getting away from Audition that I've been using for years. Love it for its post, but it does things that locks down. It does weird stuff. Plus, I got also.
Well, it's been getting, it's deteriorated.
Yeah. The problem is in the Windows machine, it literally locks down the audio drivers. So I have to have this whole, if I didn't know what I was doing because I like researched this, I'd be SOL trying to do things with the stream, with all this stuff. But this new system that's going to happen, it's kind of cool because I'm going to do with this new video card that hooks into the Rode. That it just, I think when I finish figuring it out, it's going to be relatively easy.
We'll see.
Yeah, well. But it's other program is like Zoom, but on steroids for actually recording and doing things. And then you could take it and push a button and it will create clips of all your stuff for you. But we have to decide if you want to do video and stuff, but we could do that. All right. Anyway, enough of that. Let me think where I am. Oh yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's 7-7.
You know, we missed something. You may have done this on the No Agenda show. It's possible. I didn't hear it. Well, you missed. Let me think what it was. 6/26/26.
Oh no, that whole week.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of palindromes.
Right?
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. I'm sure you picked that up. Somebody mentioned to me the other day. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But how was your 4th of July, sir? Was it full of old festivities, Frankfurters, and fireworks?
No. Fogged in.
Really? Oh, God.
Yeah.
So
yeah, literally fogged in.
So there was a lack of breeze. Did that mean the next day everything still stunk like fireworks?
No, there's no stench at all.
We had...
No, the fog takes it right out of the air, and who knows where it goes.
We don't usually have a... We don't have fog here too often. It just doesn't happen. But that next morning, it was like a low-lying level of... I don't think it was fog. I think it was smoke.
No, it was smoke. It was smoke. The fireworks.
Yeah. It was just laying on everything. It was pretty cool. There was some drone shows on the beach in Fort Lauderdale that were out of control.
Yeah, I haven't seen a good drone show yet.
This was fabulous. It was just, first they'd be spelling things and doing things and horses would be riding and just crazy stuff. Mommy had one too. But I was in a place watching the fireworks. We had our own private barge for fireworks. It was pretty cool.
No, brother.
Yeah. But in the background, we could see the Fort Lauderdale Beach fireworks and the Fort Lauderdale Beach drone show. It was very, very cool. So happy 4th to you.
Yeah, well, happy 4th to you.
Well, we had the jobs numbers come out last week. It was a shortened week because of the holiday, of course. Friday was that that day that the markets were closed, banks were closed, the official 4th of July holiday. And we saw numbers come out a day before for jobs. That's kind of interesting. Some odd moves there, what was going on. Big news, Saylor, Michael Saylor selling Bitcoin. We should have some kind of an alarm go off or something, or some kind of a megaphone alert, like a bomb shelter. We'll talk about that.
What is he? What's he saying?
Well, you know him. He's saying that it's a crypto winter, and you know it is all according to plan. It's a long term play. He's selling it for a specific reason. You want to go over that now? We'll talk about it. Strategy. The company that he, you know, this whole Pied Piper company that is buying Bitcoin for the treasury shares and thought that this would be happening across the board for everybody, talking about the merits of Bitcoin and all the good things and coming up with this new cacophony of ideas and theories of why this mathematical equation, he's smarter than everybody, and came out with these preferred shares, but basically sold 3,588 Bitcoin last week for about $216 million. The proceeds are being used for the preferred stock dividends and dollar reserves. The company still holds about 843,000 Bitcoin or so, around $52 billion worth of Bitcoin.
They only sold a few.
But there's a bigger issue. We're going to get back to that. Let me go through this and then get back to this because I think this is kind of important. The quarter that just passed included an $8.32 billion paper loss tied to Bitcoin weakness for the company. The average Bitcoin price of purchase is $75,000. $75,476 to be exact.
Oh, so he was... averaging on the way up.
Averaging on the way up. Huh. And recently sold between 59,000 and 61,000. Something is not so good here. The funny part of this is the guy that said never sell Bitcoin. He was the Treasury poster child, is now selling to serve as the capital structure.
Oops.
And let me just get back to this now. I want to read this again. Bitcoin maximalist, we talked about. Never sell Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the thing of the future. Bitcoin's the what you want to do have due to the potential of a dollar currency destruction. I'm going to read this now. Now, put that in your mind. I'm going to read this back to you again. The proceeds are being used for preferred stock dividends and dollar reserves. Dollar reserves? Huh? Doesn't it?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Well, it makes no sense. It makes all sense in the world that something's askew.
Well, yeah, it makes sense if you don't want to lose everything.
Yeah. And the thing is, they created this. This is it a Ponzi scheme? Is it a multi-level? Is it some kind of, I don't know. I'm not saying. I don't know. But if they sold this Bitcoin they held to create dividends, what is that? Let me say it a different way.
Ponzi-ish.
They sold Bitcoin to pay people the interest rate that was due. The Bitcoins that they purchased over the years and at a loss. So they didn't generate any income. They're just using capital to pay it. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very good.
So when I saw this, I was like, oh, man, people got to be pretty pissed off at this. This is a guy who says never sell, hold, you know, borrow more. You know, it's different this time, and it's going to the moon. Trust the plan. Bitcoin's going to $1 million per coin. There's limited supply. I can go on and on for hours about this, by the way. I found this to be very disconcerting.
Well, if you hold Bitcoin, it would be.
Well, I found it disconcerting because there's an accepted principle now that Bitcoin is just part of the world of investing, and it's been accepted because of people like him. And it just seems that there's a lot more going on here, and it seems like a lot of fancy footwork and fancy words and a lot of talk, and none of this stuff is, not only is it not panning out, but it really seems like it was a real good scheme here. So, All right, with that, we're rolling along. We've got a veggie alert. We'll talk about a public service announcement that has to be told. Tonight, the news, the big news, as of, I don't know, let's see, after the close of the markets today, we are re-striking, unceasefiring, and we're going after the Iran again after they launched a missile at a, I think it was a Kuwaiti ship? I think it was a Kuwaiti.
I don't know, but yeah, they
Qatari
shot at something.
They shot at something, blew up something, and it's like, wait, you can't do that. This is when the funeral is going on, in I think in Iraq, for the former Ayatollah, supreme leader. And now we're bombarding them with very hard, very, very big, very much, and it's going to go on for a while as a punishment for their bad actions. And now Iran is stating, oh, you're violating the first two or three items in the MOU. Which, now they think about it, we haven't heard anything about new negotiations going through that whole thing with the MOU.
No. No,
that's all gone.
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on. But I think they're waiting for after the funeral.
Oh, I see. That makes sense.
That's
actually,
why we haven't heard anything.
All right. Markets. We'll talk about that starting off July on a wobble. Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby. If you know that song, and we're seeing some real interesting situations come up right now, which we really need to dig into with the AI theme. Being questioned. Samsung earnings overnight were amazing, but stock dropped about 8%. Kospi, the South Korean index, dropped about 6%. And NASDAQ was spiraling. In particular, the NASDAQ 100 was selling off. Not the old school names, but the new school names definitely selling off. And the semiconductor names selling off. And anything advanced computing selling off. And this is right when SpaceX was added to the NASDAQ 100. That just happened.
Yeah, great timing.
Great timing. And they're part of the problem. They're part of the problem. And I'll tell you why. If you think about the size of SpaceX, I don't know if we've really discussed this in depth, but if you think about the size of SpaceX and how SpaceX is going into the NASDAQ 100, therefore needs to displace a bit. Not replace, but displace, right? You know that differential?
Yeah.
So what's happening is that it's going into the NASDAQ 100. Therefore, the constituents and the makeup of the NASDAQ 100 has to make room for another big boy, another whale. And as such, the other names get diluted. And what happens when they get diluted? Well, you have to buy SpaceX in order to get into the index, and the diluted shares have to be sold. So now you're selling the NVIDIAs, the Microsofts, the pick the names, whatever you want. Those are all being sold. And to make room for the right proportional share of the value of the NASDAQ 100 for SpaceX. So SpaceX is sucking up some of the juice.
Yeah, needless to say.
Yeah. And it's going down still. Still going down. You see the oil is moving up. Oil is at $72 a barrel. Coming down off the high, it was $72.80. It's what, $71.79 right now. Up about 4%. Last 5 days, up about 3%. No big deal. Clocked it under 70 for a little while there.
Gold has dropped to 41.32.
I know. What's going on?
I don't know. It's very suspect.
Year-to-date, gold is down 5%. That's all. 1 year, gold is still up 23%. And kind of going nowhere from where it was from that high. Let's see where the high was. The high was 300 or so? 5278 on February 22nd. And Oracle, is Oracle the canary in the coal mine? That is the question we shall answer. Now, one more topic to talk about before we get into some of this stuff. You've been watching the football, the soccer?
Yeah.
Okay, and?
And what?
I don't know. You finding it fascinating, wonderful, it's great?
I've seen a couple of good games. I thought the England game in Mexico City was good. That was exciting. I didn't expect the Americans to do well against Belgium, and I think that's why they put that guy back in there, because they figured, well, you know, if the Americans are going to – these games are rigged. If the Americans are going to lose, because they're going to lose to Belgium no matter what happens – make sure they have the full contingent so they can't blame anybody, because the Americans would be blaming us if they lost.
That's one,
why they did it, because of Trump.
I saw a part of this, and I thought it was fascinating. I don't know much about this, but the worst calling or worst move when the goalie came out way out of the net and just like...
Yeah, what was that all about? Oh, what? Halfway up the field.
And then he taps the ball to the other player. They boot it away, but then somebody has an open goal kick.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad.
Gosh.
That was really bad.
Yeah. Now, I've watched a few. There's a lot more than I recall ever before people interested in this. Watch parties.
Well, that's because it's here.
No, but it is here, but it's not here. In other words, it's not in South Florida right now. Well, there's some things going on down here, but...
Yeah, there's a Miami game coming up.
Yeah, that'll give you...
With England and somebody else.
Yeah, so there's definitely crowds down here that are... But I'm talking about for people I know. They're like, hey, I gotta watch the World Cup. I'm like, what? Well, I never heard that out of your mouth before. It's become a thing.
Yeah, they have done a great job of promoting it.
Yeah.
And they kept the three host countries in... as long as they could, and then boom, they're out, all three of them, all at once, same, you know, in the same round.
Because you think they're rigged. You think this is rigged.
Oh, we've always said that No Agenda show, that show that you can hear on twice a week. We have been predicting the winners of these games for at least 10 years because we think they're rigged, yeah. And it's a corrupt organization. Everybody talks about, oh, they're corrupt. You know, okay, so what? And the refereeing is very sketchy. And it's like it's very easy to rig. And it's rigged.
Are we talking about the level of rigging like Hi-Li? Is it rigged because...
I don't know how you rig Hi-Li, but I'll tell you this. Hi-Li could be rigged. Hi-Li, which is anyone has ever watched this game, you only see it in Florida. It is a terrific sport.
I don't even think they have much of it anymore. I don't know if I ever told you the story. There was a very famous highlight player. His name is Joey.
Joey.
Everybody knows Joey.
Hey, Joey. Yeah, Joey. Everybody knows Joey.
Everybody knew Joey. When I was a kid, my grandparents would take me down to Dania Beach. We'd go to the highlight fronton. That's what they called it, a fronton. And you go to the highlight fronton. You pick the winners of this game. It's like horse racing.
It's a betting game.
Yeah, and you do the... A trifecta, you could do a win, play show, you could whatever. And Joey, right? When I was a kid, it was Joey. I'm in this cigar bar that I used to hang out with, and I'm talking to this guy for weeks on end, whose name, by the way, was Joey. And so I get around, I don't know, a few months in. So Joey, you know, what did you do? We never got around to that. Oh, I was a highlight player. I'm like, okay. You know, kind of funny. Your name's Joey. That's kind of interesting. There's this really famous guy named Joey. He goes, that was me. So I was hanging out with Joey. Famous Joey. Nice guy. And American, by the way. Not he wasn't Latino like most are.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting.
Well, that story went nowhere.
I was hanging out with Joey. Joey was cool. I don't know if I ever asked him. Did I ever ask him if it was all rigged? I don't think
you should have.
I don't know. Well,
probably, yeah. But the highlight, if I guess you might be right, there's not hardly played much, but when it was, you could go in there and watch it. It was actually quite thrilling.
Yeah, those are the days in Miami, you know, the old days in Miami. Iran, we talked about that a little bit. War's back on, at least for tonight. U.S. is revoking Iran's ability to sell oil around the world, which is one of the reasons why oil came down in price so significantly. But yet now it's only up marginally, like we're going to reverse this in a day or something. I don't know. So I guess odds are going to be a quick in and out, I suppose. I was thinking that Iran was waiting until after the funeral to really start up again, get this over with. But I don't know why they randomly shot this one ship.
Well, the real problem that I think exists with this fracas is the fact that there's all these IRGC guys all over Iran are all acting independently. I don't think there's any coordination. I think some guy gets a hair up his ass and he says, let's take a shot at this thing. I'm sick of this. And it causes an issue. I don't think there's any coordination going on.
That could be. I mean, who knows if it was just a shoulder held, you know, RPG or something, or rocket launcher that somebody had and just said, push that button. Let's see what happens. And it hit the ship that was passing by. Could be a lot of radicals, just individuals, because they're very disjointed there. Possibly. But we're hitting them very strongly. Very strongly. Very strongly. Jobs numbers came out. Fed still hot. Looks like we saw an increase of 57,000 jobs on the payrolls, the official payrolls of the BLS. That's well shy of the $110,000 estimate.
Yeah, I'm way below what you need.
And April and May were revised down by a combined 74,000 jobs.
Oh, shocker.
Mm-hmm. Now, unemployment actually, what was the unemployment? Was it 4.3 or 4.2? That's an interesting question. Because I'm showing that it was unemployment. I'm seeing it showing it went to 4.2, but I thought it was 4.3. 4.3. Yeah, let's see. No, 4.2. Went to 4.2. So unemployment went from 4 to, even though we had lower people on the payrolls, went from 4.3 to 4.2. And the reason for that, now this makes sense, it'll come back to me. The reason for that is that the labor force shrank by more than 720,000 people out. Either it's because of deaths, it's probably because of immigration issues. I can tell you something. You want to hear something fascinating? The rules that were put in place recently, and that certain green card holders and non-citizens that could work here from like Haiti, for example, that were here working for 10, 20 years, some of them, that was put in place where they're no longer allowed to be employed and they can't stay in the country. It went through the Supreme Court, it went through all this stuff, and finally it was came in, it was like this was going to happen, it didn't happen, and then all of a sudden, boom. I think it was June 30th. That's it. You're done.
Well, they were supposed to be here temporarily.
I can tell you of people I know personally in some areas that I know in town that after 15 years working as a dishwasher, they were sent away. Done. Gone. No longer can work. They're out. And can't get a job. And will have to leave the country after many, many years. Now, you have to ask me, why couldn't they get their citizenship in all those years?
Why couldn't they get their citizenship in all
those
years?
Who knows? That is a good point, by the way. That is the opposite side of this discussion. No question about that. It makes no sense why they couldn't
get
that.
Maybe they didn't think they needed it.
I know also of people that have tried for years to get citizenship, but for whatever reason they can't. So I get it. It's just a very, but my point was, wrapping this around, I heard about 160,000 people were let go like in the last 2 weeks in South Florida.
Yeah.
So well, that could
while we're
be
talking about unemployment.
Yeah.
I did decide. I looked up shadow stats. What's the what do you think the classic using the old classic numbers?
Ah.
Williams is a
so where are we now for? It's got to be north of 10. It's got to be in the 12s, 13s.
25% unemployment.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he's got.
He just wrote me tonight, actually.
Oh yeah, what do you have to say?
He's gonna be on the Discipline Investor podcast soon.
Oh good.
We're gonna schedule him up.
Yeah, good.
You enjoy your stuff.
Tune into that.
Labor force participation rate fell to 61.5%, the lowest in more than 5 years. Leisure and hospitality lost 61,000. Hourly earnings rose a little bit, 0.13 cents in June. So this weaker hiring, here's the setup now. The weaker hiring we have argues for patience from the Fed, but the inflation numbers that we're seeing is still above target. Again, 5 years it's been above target. So the market is back to parsing every single Fed sentence. Fed funds futures, now only one raise by the end of the year.
Well, now I heard from the New York guy, the governor, Fed governor from New York.
Is it Dudley?
I don't remember his name, but he's yakking away because they're all yakking away. He says no.
No rate increases by the end of the year.
They say nothing. At least the consensus and some of them think, no, we're not going to do anything.
Huh.
Period. Up or down.
Really? I would... I think that's possible. I think that's a reasonable thing because they don't want to.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think so. If we stay within this range.
Although this 25% unemployment rate's not too cool.
Well, don't forget, one of the things that they're talking about is reconstituting and reimagining the calculation for inflation again.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's too high.
Yeah, exactly. Got to bring it down. What does Shadow Stat say the inflation rate is? If you're on the page already.
Yes, I am. Let me go take a look. Alternative data, inflation. Wow, it's off. It's actually above the. Well, no, it bounced. It's back down. It's down to 9%,
which is double plus what we have now.
8%. Take it by 8%.
So it's double.
Yeah.
Which seems reasonable. I would think things have increased by about 10% over the last year.
Yeah, it looks about right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he does good work here with
these
numbers.
He does. He's going to have another line soon if they do a recalculation.
Well, actually, it's funny with this with the inflation one. His chart, when it really jumped up to its like 14 or so, probably, I don't know, four or five months ago, it goes off the scale and into the text.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. Now, the Dow hit a record, 52,900. It was above 53,000 today, I believe, also, after the soft jobs report cooled near-term rate hike fears. S&P was flat. NASDAQ fell about 0.8%. Again, chip stocks are dragging the tape lower. This happened again today. Philly Semiconductor Index dropped by more than 5% on July 2nd on this number when it came out. Apple rose on that day also 5% on iPhone launch optimism. That's amazing that Apple, the size of that company, can actually move 5% on just optimism of when a new iPhone will come out. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Goldman Sachs data the end of last week showed that hedge funds dumped tech hardware and semiconductor exposure for a fourth straight week. Big issue is CapEx right now. So Tesla beats on deliveries, delivered 480,000 vehicles in quarter two, a record above Wall Street expectations.
Most of them are sold out in Berkeley.
Yeah, pretty much all of them. They're everywhere. They're swarming over in your neck of the woods, right?
Oh, yeah. There's like every other car is a Tesla.
Yep. Production was 450,000 vehicles. Model 3 and Y made up pretty much all of the deliveries.
Yeah, which is, I mean, the Model 3 is kind of cute, but the Y is just as ugly as a mud hen.
The only one I've ever liked is the S.
Yeah, the S is always the best.
Very pretty.
The original S was very well designed. Yep. The design has deteriorated.
they're not even making it anymore.
I don't know. Do
they, I think they stopped making the S.
Oh, maybe.
They stopped making the S and the, what was it? The 3. Not the 3, no. S-E-X-Y. S-E-S. So the S-E-X. They're not making the X either. They're only making the 3 and the Ys. Hmm. And the Cybertruck.
Yeah, another homely stepsister.
After this report, shares are down about 8%, one of the worst drops in roughly a year. And this is even as people are thinking that it's possible, maybe, that SpaceX will absorb it, which is my thesis, that they're doing everything they can to drop shares to pick this up at a bargain price.
Right, so they're dumping, right. So Tesla might not be a bad short for the game.
Yeah. It's possible. Tesla was around 420, market cap about 1.5 trillion, trailing PE around 385. They still keep this thing going. It's just amazing. Tesla, another news with Musk, reportedly last week capped employee spending on third-party AI tools at $200 per week starting just yesterday. Grok was exempt from the cap.
Yeah, use Grok.
But Tesla wants the employees to use the AI, but not, you know, they're running up all these huge expenses on outside token bills. That's usually the API stuff they're using.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Grok has improved so much that it might be go-to.
Grok is great. I mean, Grok is really good. ChatGPT has been really good for me lately. I mean, you see the cover art? You remember the old cover art when we first started doing this? How poor it was?
When you first started doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember how bad it was? Muddy?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. This particular piece, like the one you got today, dynamite.
Dynamite, right?
Yeah, it's 10 times better than the early stuff.
You got words that you can actually read that are clear and crisp. This is there is not even an overlay. I don't think there's no overlay here that we did for like the DH Unplugged with the episode 8 and 9.
You're using what for this?
That's ChatGPT.
Okay.
Paid version. But what I really thought was interesting about this particular image was the likeness of the individual that was used. I was shocked that they'd put that in there. That's him right there, isn't it? We'll let people... That's the guy.
Who is it?
Let people look for themselves. If you want me to tell you?
There could be two or three different people.
It's Michael Saylor.
Yeah, it is. That's funny. I keep seeing that senator, congressman, Senator Massey.
Oh,
that's what he looks like. I like the guys in the background with their hands on their heads.
Right. But look what it also did with all these. Look at the pyramid.
Yeah.
Look at the signs.
You're proud of yourself with this piece.
I'm not proud of myself. I think it's come along. My point is, it's come a long way.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't prompt all this stuff.
I know it does a lot of ad-libbing.
Very good, and all the even put the Wall Street in the background. See the Wall Street back there on the back left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, if you do nothing, go over to dhunplugged.com. Check out the album art. I would encourage people to go back. Like, pick an episode from about a year and a half ago and look at the differential in the artwork. Some of it was terrible. We did it anyway as an experiment. That was the point.
No, the point was to have some art.
We always had art, but for a long time we had, do you remember the roller coasters?
Yeah.
We did that forever.
Roller coasters to an extreme.
NVIDIA server delay. NVIDIA shares were kind of moving around. They said that NVIDIA's Kyber architecture could slip by up to 12 months into 2028. NVIDIA, of course,
that's
pushed
a big
back.
Slip.
Yeah, that's a big slip. NVIDIA said, well, of course, no, that's not true. Mizuho called the delay report noise, said it was not a material issue for the stock. Nothing is a material. Nothing's material. Nothing is bad. Doesn't matter if you have earnings or not. None of that matters. We're just going to increase our price targets. So ridiculous. Oracle stock fell 19% last week, the steepest drop since August 2001. 2001, which was the depths of the dot-com bust.
Yeah, that's the worst time.
Company capital expenditures surged 162% in the latest fiscal year.
All this happened right after Ellison came out with his long speeches.
He was, for a moment, wasn't he the richest person in the world for a minute?
No, I don't think, well, maybe, but all I know is he's doing a lot of out of the blue, because most of the time you don't hear from him. But he comes out of the blue and he's giving these speeches, he's at these events, and he's going on about, you know, what the future is going to look like. None of it good, by the way. His vision is not what you want. And yakking away, promoting
dark and dreary
Oracle. And then I couldn't find any evidence he's dumping stock, so I don't know what the hell is going on.
Well, I mean, they entered into was it the NBC Universal deal, whatever it was, or whatever they were trying to do that, or what? Not that.
Paramount.
And, but more importantly, what they did is they got their knickers into a bind with this spending. They have $24 billion in negative free cash flow, $130 billion in debt. This is because they started building stuff and gathering all this in anticipation of others coming to the rescue by funding them, like OpenAI with $300 billion. Remember, the stock went haywire. Haywire. Yeah. It was like, wow, that's amazing. Oracle, look at that. And it's down it's down a lot from where it was. I think it's down 50%. Let's see. Down another 2.6% today. Year to date, down. Give me a guess of where it's down year to date. Good.
45%.
Oh, so good. It was actually inverted. It's 54%. 27%. Sorry, 27%.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, sorry.
That'd be a good short.
1 year, it's down 39%. Hmm. 5 years. 5 years. This is total. This is total return in 5 years. Up 61%. Think about that. That's awful. Only up that. That's if it's a 5 year basis, you're talking about 11% per year, which is fine in general for a stock. You know.
Yeah, if you're a potash company.
Yeah, exactly. Very bad. Now the problem is with Oracle is that again, it's about down 55% from when it reached its high. The problem is it's relying on all these other companies. And having to raise all this debt to begin with, creating this balance sheet risk while focusing on a lot of lower margin offerings. So It's kind of, like I said, its knickers are in a bind. We talked about SpaceX entering into the queues. We talked about strategy selling Bitcoin. We're kind of going back over this. Microsoft making some cuts. Actually, I got a call today from someone who, a while back I reached out and I said, look, anybody that is being laid off by Microsoft, and I talked about a couple different companies here and there, but if you're being laid off by Microsoft, you can call me. You can contact me. We understand what's going on. We know what to do here. We have it all down on what is the best mode for you to go in terms of 401ks, and of course your benefit packages and things like that that you'll be getting, your severance. But a lot of people are very concerned, John, right? You know, you get another 4,800, 5,000 people being laid off. About 1% of the, I don't know what the percent is on that, actually. It's a pretty big percent of labor. And why are they being laid off? From what I heard, it's related to AI.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
But it could be bloat.
It may
AI
be
being the excuse.
It may
well,
be.
You can't see the problem is you can't. You big company, you can't lay off people because of bloat, because it sounds like you're incompetent. So you come up with AI is the world's greatest excuse for incompetent management. You have all these. You have bloat, and you have AI, and say, well, AI. That's what it is. We're replacing them. AI is going to do the trick. And then you get rid of your bloat, and then you walk away looking like a genius.
But for so long, everybody was talking about how AI is not going to replace jobs, number one. Number two, I've made the argument.
That's kind of the irony, the gotcha irony.
Yeah. I've made the argument with you that saying it's because of AI is a real problem, because that is dismotivational. Is that a word? Dismotivational? Unmotivational? Non-motivational?
I have no idea stymie. What the right word would be.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
You know, you say to somebody, hey, John, do me a favor. Build this AI thing so that we can replace you, please. It doesn't work.
And was that any different than here, train this Indian who just came over from Bombay to take your place?
No, I mean, it's no different. No different. But the messaging is just, it's problematic. So I think that it's really unfortunate, and they are building this. Is this happening? This hogwash from the companies like NVIDIA and all these guys are saying, no, it's not going to replace. It is. It's happening. So back to the point, if you're one of the people that were recently laid off by Microsoft or another company, you can call us over here. We will help you through the process and get you settled straight. So go over to figure out how to find us over on the Disciplined Investor. There's a contact us page right there. PMI Services, non-manufacturing, that's the old name. The new name is called ISM Services. It used to be called Manufacturing and Non-Manufacturing. So it's the services component came out at 54, which is good. 54 is a good number. 54 is above the line, the 50.
The 50 line, yeah.
The 50 demarcation point. So that's good. Market took it as good growth. And taking that number along with the manufacturing numbers, you can kind of extrapolate to a degree of how well the economy is doing, and more importantly, what's happening with GDP. So GDP still looks like there's some giddy up in that number coming. We have some earnings season coming out. There's a few more that will officially open it, but we have Delta and Pepsi reporting this week, Levi Strauss reporting this week. Delta, going to be a read on travel, of course, premium demand, fuel and consumer resilience. I can tell you that what we're seeing in airfare, a lot of cuts in the European. I'm taking a trip to Europe at the end of this month, and it's noticeable the lack of supply. You have to really root around and find a decent flight, more so than ever before, in the last number of years.
Hmm.
PepsiCo is a read on the snack pricing, volume, lower income consumer pressures, GLP-1, diet conscious, all that's going to go in. And that's going to be an issue because we're seeing a lot of areas that have liquor prices are coming down finally. I mean, the GLP-1 phenomena of causing people to not drink as much.
Yeah, or eat snacks or do anything.
Yeah.
It disincentivizes a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So big high bar after the market strong second quarter on quarter two earnings in general. I want to mention, go back to oil for a second. I forgot to mention this. OPEC Plus over the weekend approved another output target increase for August, adding about 188,000 barrels per day. What was at one time this concern that we were running out of oil. Reserves are down. We're at
peak
10
oil. Remember that?
Yeah. But you know what happened now? All of a sudden, 1 week after the Strait of Hormuz opened, everybody's talking about an oil glut. I'm not kidding. An oil glut. The SPR level is now 319 million barrels after we took out another 6.2. Lowest level of the strategic petroleum reserve since 1983.
Well, with a glut, now's the time to refill.
How is there a glut if reserves are at the lowest levels in multi-decades? How is there a glut?
Really shouldn't have anything to do with the reserves.
Well, they're saying that all these ships that are hanging out there in the Strait of Hormuz that are full, they're counting those. Those ships that have been sitting there for months, not because nobody wanted to take them because they couldn't get through. There's a difference.
Yeah, but then they all hit the scene at the same time.
I guess. And everybody learned, for a while on how to get by without the Iranian oil, I suppose.
Well, yeah, we pump more. And we dump our reserves.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember there was a time only a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or so ago, that Europe was running out of jet fuel?
Yeah, a week away.
Week away. I guess that there's a lesson in all of this, that this stuff never seems to happen. None of this stuff ever, all these crazy...
Oh, the doom and gloom never occurs.
It gets down there maybe a little bit, but it never actually snaps. You never get to that point. Not that I'm wishing for it, but you wonder...
Yeah, but you want to see it once in a while.
Where's the fun of just driving down the road? You need an accident sometimes, right? No, but seriously, I mean, one of the things is China stepped up Middle East oil purchases as prices fell. So that propped up some of the things. But Saudi Arabia cut export prices to Asia to a six-year low. So lower oil supports disinflation but raises concerns about global demand. Mm. And you got to wonder if that's what's happening. But I just don't see that either. The idea like we're going to have a glut because demand isn't there. Demand, like, do people just stop? I don't know. Maybe the price were high, the demand will pick back up when prices come down a little bit. Because still, prices of the pump have not really relaxed very much.
Yeah, they have here a little bit.
But they're only down maybe 10%.
A dime if you're lucky.
And that's with oil being down 40% from the high. That's not very good.
Yeah, well, they got to come down more.
Yeah. You want to look at the veggies, what's going on there? This is actually a chef that I know, Chef Jason. He sent me this really interesting update on food pricing, availability, crops, produce availability in various places. And I pulled this because I thought it was really interesting. This is
coffee
the
coffee that's taking a beating.
What is?
Coffee.
Coffee's down again.
No, it's down again. Okay.
Wasn't it? I thought it was.
I thought it was up. Okay, well, what do we got here? We got a whole bunch of stuff listed.
Go ahead. Rattle it off.
Yeah, you got asparagus is escalated. Artichokes, extreme. What does that mean?
It's an
cantaloupe. Extreme. Fennel. Extreme. Green leaf, red leaf lettuce. Escalated. Yeah.
But these are alerts. These are alerts. Of availability and pricing.
Yeah, honeydews, iceberg lettuce, everything's up. Limes. Grow your own citrus, people. I have three citrus trees.
And what do you have?
And all the rest of the family, we all have citrus trees.
Which ones? You have limes, lemons?
Yeah, I only have lemons and limes, and I have kumquats.
Wow, kumquats, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It doesn't produce... It's not like a lemon tree. Let's put it that way. Lemons are like ridiculous. I don't care what kind of tree you have. They grow like crazy. I don't know why anybody buys lemons, to be honest about it. Buy a tree and you'll never buy lemons
again. I don't think it would grow. Well, even if it does grow, I wonder if the iguanas will grab them. We have iguana
lemon,
problem.
I think it's a tougher iguana. I don't know if iguanas eat lemons.
They're nasty creatures.
It's kind of sour.
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty much everything. Green bell peppers, romaine lettuce, romaine hearts. White asparagus. Where do you get that? I don't care what you pay for it. I never see it.
I see it all the time, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I never see it. If you go to France, you see it all over the place. Big, thick ones. But I've never seen it here. Except... on occasion, like once a year, maybe once every couple of years.
Are they much different? I think they're tender, more tender.
They're better. It's a great product.
I feel like I pickled a bunch of these. Pickled asparagus. Yeah. Anyway, the point here is that we're still seeing a lot of problems, which we talked about some time ago due to, in the beginning of the year where it started with the problems with the Florida crops and the freezes and into the uric acid and the problem with fertilizer, then the crop yield that we were going to get into, not to mention all the tariffs and things going on with places like Mexico and Canada. And now we're starting to see this. Now, whether or not this either becomes a major accident and prices go up even more. But I mean, we did see tomatoes go from $20 a case to $80 a case. We saw lettuces.
It's ridiculous. You can't even go to Taco Bell anymore.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. The interesting thing about
that. I went to Taco Bell recently.
Yeah, and?
Just to get a bean burrito.
Yeah.
Typically was a dollar in the old days.
Yeah.
$3.
Really?
$3 for a bean burrito. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to buy any of these things. I'm not going back.
No. But one of the things you will find is since they escalated prices like this,